This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Revelation 3:20 was the text scripture. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him and he with me. We've been talking about the idea that God is not going to come rolling into your life and dominate you, make you do stuff, that you actually have to open the door to him. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. He is always a gentleman. He will respect your right to say no or to open the door wide open. But this series is called Opening the Door. I want more of God in my life. I want him in my life. He is nothing but good, nothing but brilliant, nothing but gracious, nothing but blessed. And when he's more in my life, it just helps me. Anybody ever have a friend that when you were around them, you were just better off? Just one of those people, they were just happy, they were joyous, they were generous, and you were around them and you would say things like, you know, I like being around you because you bring out the best in me. Well, I like being around God because he certain can bring out the best in me and bring out the best in you. He's good. And so we want to open the door to him, and we talked about the fact that you can close the door to him. He ain't going to force you. And we looked at Jesus going to his hometown. I think we just need to read that. We've all slept since I taught on this last. And so let's look at this in Luke. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. He's in his hometown. They said, is this not Joseph's son? He said to them, you will surely say this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we've heard done in Capernaum, do here also in your country. And then he said, assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath, a region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. That means they were angry, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. Now Jesus is in his hometown, and basically what we talked about, just to recap real quickly, he was limited by the people in his hometown. They showed very little respect and very little belief in him. In fact, they looked at him and said, isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't it great what God's doing through Jesus? Isn't it great that Jesus is a prophet that's risen up in these last days? They said, no, we know you, you're the carpenter. And they begin really to shut him down. And they saw very little results. In Mark, the 6th chapter, it said, and he could do no mighty work there, except he laid his hands on a few sickly people and healed them. So, in his hometown, they shut him down. Then he goes across the lake. This was a couple of weeks ago. He goes across the lake to an area called Gennesaret. They see him come out of the boat. They recognized him, but they didn't recognize him as a carpenter. They recognized him as a healer. And they ran throughout the whole region, began to lay sick people in the streets, and wherever Jesus touched them, where they just touched the hem of his garment. They just begged him, Lord, just come by. You don't have to stop for anybody. Just come by, let us touch the hem of your garment. And all of those were healed. Well, those are two wholly, totally different results. One people saw no results. Other people had a healing, just miracles left and right. And so we've been looking at, and Jesus, now in this passage in Luke that we just read, Jesus is starting to give us some ideas why things are happening and why things aren't. And he talks about two people who were actually foreigners, which really ticked these Jewish people off, because they were not from Israel, and yet they got great results. And a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the widow, and the widow was running out of food. And the prophet came to her and said, look, if you'll bake me a cake first, then it's never going to run out in the meal and all. It's going to continue. And so she did. And we won't take the time to go into that. I want to talk tonight about Naaman the Syrian. He said, because there was a lot of lepers in Israel, and Naaman the Syrian was the only one that got healed. So the idea is we look at these people and we see what they did, because obviously they opened the door to God big in their lives. And so if we watch them, we can learn some things. So let's look at Naaman the Syrian, and we'll read the passage. We're going to have to read a little bit tonight to catch this story, but this is Wednesday night. You can handle it. And let's 2 Kings 5th chapter, verses 1 through 5. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." Naaman went and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I'll send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed, took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Now let's start looking at this guy. He's a leper. If you understand leprosy, it is a disease. It's like a cancer. It's on the outside, and it eats away your body parts from the outside in. It's not uncommon. Leprosy is still active in southern parts of the world. We don't see it here in America near as much. But if you go to a leper colony, and they have those because it's highly contagious, you see people and you see noses gone and lips gone and ears gone and appendages gone. It's a gruesome, horrible way to die, and it's fatal. No way to recover from it. So here's this guy Naaman. He's Syrian. He's not Jewish. He's not from Israel. But we talked about opening the door. He's a man who was willing to believe that God could do something big in his life. Now, you haven't stopped and think about it. He's a leper, and they capture a girl from Israel, bring her in. She is a captured girl. She's a little servant girl. And she has really, you talk about no status, she has zero status, none. You know, there are still parts of the world today, Joe McGee said it Sunday, he's right, there are parts of the world today where women are still treated worse, almost as bad as animals. And so for a female who was a captured slave, and here's what I think. This is Alan's opinion. Alan's opinion says that this Naaman and his wife were probably good people. Because this little girl said, "I wish my master was in Samaria because the prophet would heal him." How many of you know if he was a horrible, mean, nasty person, she probably would have sat back and said, "Hey, tough to be you. You gonna die with that leprosy. So sad." But if you're a good person, and I think he was good to this girl. And she said, "Yeah, I wish he was in Israel, because if he was in Israel, there's a prophet there, and God can heal him." And he believed this girl. Yes. He believed this little girl. I mean, he goes to his king and says, "King, this little servant girl that we captured said that in Israel there's a prophet that can get me healed." And he's like, "I'm going." Listen, there's something to that. You say, "Well, the man's dying." Everyone who's dying is willing to change their beliefs. Oh, no. Oh, no. Listen, they've done studies on people who have had heart attacks. And then they do follow-up studies on people who have, after they've had open heart surgery. How many of you, if you have open heart surgery, you obviously need to change some things? Mm-hmm. Yes. Or you wouldn't have needed the open heart surgery. They found that it's something like 80 to 90% of them never change their lifestyle and diet after having open heart surgery. I'm thinking, I got someone going, "Yep, like I got a relative right now." Some of you know people who they're like, "You got cancer." And they're like, "Well, I can't give up cigarettes." So it's not like, oh, people are going to die, they change. Now, I will say that facing death, I have seen people change their theology real quick. From "God doesn't heal" to "Oh, he does." And that's good news. But this guy, you have to understand, he had a willingness to believe a little servant girl. And he believed, okay, there's this God in Israel that can do this. So he goes to his king and goes, "King, look," king said, "Well, great, I'll write a letter." And he showed a level of respect when he went. Now, listen to this. He traveled to go see Elisha. That took some effort. Traveling then is not as easy as traveling today. And when you travel today, we're going to find out he took a huge offering with him. You have to have soldiers. You don't travel by yourself. It's not like you jump in the car. It's not like you catch a flight. He's traveling miles. He's got chariots. He's got horses. He's got swords. This is a big deal. And he's traveling. He could have demanded Elisha come to him, but he showed a level of respect. And don't forget that. Remember, we shared in our stewardship about the fear of the Lord, respect of God. That's important. He showed a level of respect, and then he showed up with an offering. He didn't show up empty-handed. Now, again, he was a conquering general. He's a warrior. He's one that had, the Bible said, that God had given him victory over Israel. So he has defeated Israel. He stole this little slave girl from Israel. This guy is not, he's not a guy that has to tiptoe around and ask everyone, please, what do you think? He could come rolling in, but he shows up with an offering. He did not show up empty-handed. He said, well, what has that got to do? I tell you, it has a lot to do with honor. If you honor, if you stop and think, and just stop and think just for a moment of someone that you really think is awesome, that you would like to maybe have lunch with. If you could pick anyone in the world that you could have lunch with, and you don't have to tell me who it is, but if you could pick anyone, how many of you know if you could have, it's like someone, maybe it's a business leader, maybe it's an athlete, maybe it's a musician, or maybe it's just someone who's a great, you know, just a great person or an author or something. Someone that really just, you go, man, that would be so awesome to go have lunch with them. How many of you know you are not going to take them to Chick-fil-A? You have a chance. How do you know? You're going to save up. You're like, no, where are we going to go? We're going to a nice place. Someone says, oh, take them to Chick-fil-A. You're like, do you know who this is? This is someone important. You don't take important people. I love Chick-fil-A, by the way. So don't. But you don't take in, if you've got an important, this is an important thing, you're not taking them to Chick-fil-A. You're going to take them to a nice meal. Why? You want to honor them. Y'all hear? So he goes and you say, well, he brought an offering. So what? He brought some shekels. Okay, yeah. Let me tell you how much the shekels wound up being. Shekels wound up being 150 pounds of gold. Hello. Just got some of your attention right there. You're like, here we go. 150 pounds of gold. Gold being at current rates about $20,640 per pound. $3,100,000 worth of gold. Brother brought an offering. And we're not done, because remember, he also brought 750 pounds of silver. Silver at 1722 an ounce. 275 a pound. I'd take it, $207,000 worth of silver. And 10 changes of clothes from Walmart. No, I'm just making sure you're listening. All right, okay, here we go. So he didn't show up empty-handed. And he actually went to the king of Syria wrote a letter to the king of Israel, said, I'm sending my servant Naaman to you, and when he comes, I need you to heal him of leprosy. And the king of Israel, he got that, and the Bible said, he's like, the king of Syria is trying to pick a fight with me. And the Bible said he tore his clothes. That's what they used to do back then. They didn't hit walls. They didn't punch stuff. They didn't kick stuff. They just tore their clothes. You're real mad. You're like, you just rip your clothes. I am really glad we don't do that anymore. See me come walking down the hall. Ooh, it must be bad. Well, Alan has ripped his clothes. It is. It's bad. In fact, they sent, when Elisha heard it, Elisha, he says the king, he texts the king, why did you tear your clothes? He said, send him to me. He said, I'll show him there's a prophet in Israel. He's like, what do you think? It's a little cocky, isn't it? No, Elisha just knew who his God was. And so here's what happened. Verses 9 through 14. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him. So he sent out his servant. Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters in Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean?" So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He was, now here's the wonderful deal. The brother was willing to make an adjustment. Can I tell you something about life? Life is all about making adjustments. Your life with God is all about making adjustments. It is adjusting. You get married and you think it's going to be one way, you had better make some adjustments. Adjustments will be made. Oh, we're going to have children. Adjustments will be made. Our children have finally left the house. That's what you thought. Adjustments will be made and they will be back. You're always making adjustments. You make adjustments when you drive. You don't just lock the steering wheel in. You're adjusting all the time. But adjusting is important, because when this guy goes, he was not happy. He was angry because Elisha didn't go out and see him. He sent a messenger out. Here this guy, man, he's got gold, he's got silver, he's got people protecting it. They're coming with a lot of chariots and horses. There is a whole lot of folks in Elisha's driveway. And Elisha sends out his messenger, sticks his head out the door and says, "Elisha said, go dip 7 times in the Jordan. See ya." Click. I'm sure he's looking at his aides going, "Does he know who I am? Does he know who? Are you talking to me?" He had to be so upset. One, he didn't like the messenger. Two, he said, "I thought it was going to be this way." Ooh, listen, guys, this is where we make mistakes a lot of time. "I thought God was going to do it this way." Alan, if you and Joy will just go by and see my brother-in-law, I know he'll get saved. Does he want us to come? No, he hates preachers. No. We're not going. Oh, but only if you. No. He had it. And maybe that's the way the priest of his foreign gods worked. Maybe they came out and they did a whole lot of hoopla. Probably because you got nothing else going on. You got a bunch of dead gods. You better come up with some kind of hoopla. And so he thought Elijah was going to come out and wave his hands around. And heal the leprosy. So his expectations were here. And this is what he got. Right in between here is what they call the offended zone. Oh, come on, you know what I'm talking about. Don't act like you've never been there. Your expectations were here, and you got that, and there is where you get offended. And if you're not careful, you can get offended at God. He's upset, he's mad. He goes, "Go dip in the river." Dip in the river? That's a nasty river. We got nicer rivers back where I come from. I'm dipping that river. That's crazy. He went away furious. He was angry. Yet he was obviously the kind of guy that his servants could talk to him. You know, we ought to be able, I recognize all of us have moments, but we ought to be able to be, at least someone can approach us and go, "Hey, Master, if he'd ask you to do something great, wouldn't you do it?" He's probably driving his chariot. "Yeah." "Well, he just said go dip in the river. I mean, what do you got to lose? Go dip." And he makes an adjustment. "Okay, we're here. Let's go dip. You count." "All right. That's one, sir." "Two." Somebody's keeping count. "Three." "How many is that?" "It's three. You got 4 more, sir. Let's dip." 7 times. And on the 7th time when he came up, he is healed of leprosy. I'm thinking, yeehaw, that's a good day. He could have said, "Let's pack it up and go home, boys. That's great. We're healed. I'm going home. Get out of this nasty river. I'm glad to be healed. Isn't that good?" And that's not what he did. Here's something. As we look at this guy, he's willing to believe. He's willing to make adjustments. I say, Alan, why are you going over this? This has nothing to do with me. It's got everything to do with you. Because this guy opened a door wide open to God. He had no covenant with God. He had no relationship with God. And yet he was willing to believe that God could do big things. He was willing to make adjustments. He humbled himself. And he made adjustments. And he got healed. You say, well, is God? God hasn't changed. He never does. Guess who gets to change in life? Us. I broke up with a girl in college that I knew I was going to marry. I knew she was going to be my dream girl. And we dated for a while. And that thing turned into a nightmare. But I was so fixated on the idea that this was the best I could do that I was unwilling for a long time to make an adjustment. Oftentimes, it's fear that keeps us from making adjustments. Because we think, God, you can't do any better than this. But when I finally said, Lord, I'm done. I'm leaving. I'm going to Texas. And then I meet Joy. And it's like, so much better. So. Sometimes I just look at her and go, oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And then my son looked her up on Facebook. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The mercy of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the only thing some of you are going to remember tonight was, dear Lord, Alan. All right. Here's what he did next, and I think it's important we go through this. 2 Kings 5, let's go 15 through 19. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and he came and stood before him, and he said, indeed, now I know there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. He's going to give up them shekels. And I'm thinking, whoo. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I'll receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Naaman said, then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. Yet in this thing, may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master goes in the temple of Rimon to worship there, and he leans on my hand and I bow in the temple of Rimon, when I bow in that temple of Rimon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing. Then he, as Elisha said to him, go in peace. So he departed for a short distance. Let me go. He had a heart to honor God. Remember, we're talking about open doors, willing to believe, willing to humble himself and make adjustments. And then he had a heart to honor God. He could have just hooked him, gone right back home. How many of you know sometimes backtracking is a hassle? He turned everything around, said, we're going back. He went back, found that guy, and I love what he said. He said, I know. He recognized who healed him. It wasn't the dipping who healed him. It was God who healed him. The dipping was only in obedience. And all he said, I know, he said, I know there is no God but your God in Israel. So he returned and he wanted to give thanks. And he expressed, he wanted to give thanks. He really wanted Elisha to take an offering. You say, Alan, why is the offering so important? Because I just be very frank with you. Your heart and your wallet are connected. I thought it would go over about that big. But when your heart is tender, boy, it's quick to go back there and to give. And his heart was tender. He's going to give about $3 million. He wanted to give Elisha $3 million. Why? He just simply wanted to express thanks. He's expressing gratitude. Listen, when God does something for you and he has helped you, when the pressure's off, that's the time to go back to church, not to drop out. That's the time to go back and say, Lord, you've been good to me. You have been good. So he goes back, and then he wanted to make sure that he and God were right. He said, give me some earth. He said, because I'm not. He said, I'm secretly, he's going to be, because he lives in a heathen land. He said, I'm going to be offering sacrifices only to the Lord God. He said, but listen, he said, my king, he worships this god, Rimon. And when I go into the temple with Rimon, I'm on the king and he bows and I got to bow. He's basically like, are we going to be okay here? I thought that was interesting. He had a respect for God. He didn't want to make God mad. He probably thought, ooh, leprosy can come back on me. I don't want to do this. He had such an honorable heart. He said, are we going to be okay there? Elisha said, go in peace. That's a good heart. For you, for us, for me. Opening the door to God. What are you willing to believe sight unseen? Do you believe God can do big things in your life? Now, that's a good question. Do you believe God can do big things in your life? A man came to Jesus in Mark 9, 23, and he said, if you can do anything, if you can do anything, Jesus, he had a son that had seizures. He said, Jesus, if you can do anything, would you heal my son? Look what Jesus said in Mark 9, 23. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Actually, another translation, more accurate, reads, if you can, he said, believe. All things are possible to him that believes. Basically, he's looking at Jesus going, can you do anything? And Jesus goes, if you can. If I can? He said, believe. All things are possible to him that believes. What opens the door wide to God? Your willingness to believe him. Well, that's how you got saved. Some of you have rejected, 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 but one day you decided, I believe there is something to this God. I believe he is real. I believe Jesus did come. I believe he did die on the cross. I believe God did raise him from the dead. I need him in my life. And when you did that, you opened the door, and what? He was there, right there, boom. Open the door. What are you willing to believe? Now, here's a great question. You got to ask yourself, do I believe that God can do blank? And what's the blank in your life? Do I believe that God can help me be a better husband, a better wife? Do I believe that God can help me find the right one? Do I believe that God can help me with my family? No, you don't have to answer that, but just think. Because some of you are like, okay, yes, yes, yes. Do I believe that God can help me get a better job? Do I believe that God can help me in my body that's been sick? Do I believe that God can help me because I've been so depressed, that God can help me come out of depression? What do you believe? And that's a great question. Do you believe that you can come out? Let me tell you something. You say, well, Alan, I don't know. Let me tell you something. I believe you can come out of depression. I believe you can come out of any addiction that's ever bound you. I believe that God can help you become a better husband, a better wife. I believe that God can help you with your kids. I believe. Now, the key is, and you're saying, I just don't think I believe. Well, that's a good thing to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you to help me in this area because I want to open the door wide to you. What are you willing to believe? Number two, how can you show honor to God? How can you show honor to God? You know, Naaman had to drive a long way, had to take the chariots, had to get a lot. It was not convenient. It wasn't convenient. I'm just going to tell you right now, if you choose to serve God, it's not always going to be convenient. But is he worth it? Some of you, I want you to think back. Some of you, maybe you're dating someone really special right now. Some of you, when you were married, you were this way. You would go all out of your way to go out with them, to do something for them. Why? Because they were special to you. I think sometimes we need to go back and remember how it was when we first came to the Lord and how we loved him and how we enjoyed church and how we'd come to church like, I enjoy coming to church. And then we see after a few years, you're like, I know he only goes about an hour, so we're about due to quit right now. You don't want to get there. You want to go back to how it was when you first came to the Lord and you realized, oh, you're good. Oh, you've been merciful to me. Oh, you pulled my carcass out of the fire. Oh, thank you. Thank you for how you've been good. What can you do to show honor to God? People talk about, Alan, you talk about coming to church all the time, coming to church. I think it's one of the things that you can do to honor God. I think taking an hour a week, 2 hours a week, maybe serving someplace, that is nothing. Listen, when you get to heaven, you are not going to come find me and go, you should have never talked me into serving and going to church. When you see me in heaven, you're going to come past my mansion. You're going to wave and go, thank you, Pastor Allen. Thank you. Thank you. I'm just glad to be here, but thank you. I actually got a reward. Thank you. Because the Bible says every one of us will have to give an account of the things we do in this life. Hey, it's Wednesday night and we're having fun. All right, there we go. Another one. You can honor him with your finances. Salem, are you starting a building project? Nope. I'm starting a heart building project. Because our heart and our wallet are connected. Look what it says in Proverbs. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Honor him. That's one way you can do it. Here's the third one. What adjustments do you need to make? Now, everyone look straight ahead. Do not look around. Life is all about making adjustments. James 4:7, just put up real quickly, said, God resists the proud. Had the wrong scripture. Sorry. That one's a good one, but it's actually, it says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to them, to the ones that go, Lord, I'm willing to make an adjustment. And then how can you express your appreciation to God? Well, one, not forgetting about him when the pressure is off. Two, keeping an attitude. And just, I want you to hear me the right way on this. I owe you. You understand that? I owe you. You've heard me tell the story about my grandson, Grant. I saw him this past week. Kid's doing really good. Cute. Smiles all the time. Just happy kid. So blessed. But I remember when we almost lost him. And I was praying. And I was serious. And I said, Lord, please. I need this boy. I need him okay. And after he came out of the woods, I just remember with tears in my eyes, I told the Lord, I owe you. I owe you on this one. Now, trust me, I owe him a whole lot more than this one, but you understand what I'm saying. He did something for us, and we appreciate it. Has God done anything for you? How about this? How about he died for all, that they which live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Before I hit heaven, I want to do everything I can on earth to say, Lord, I owe you. I love you. I appreciate you. You have been good to me. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Father, thank you for this time. We thank you, Father, for teaching us how to open our hearts to you. We so much want more of you in our lives, more of your spirit, more of your word, more of your light, more of your insight, your goodness, your provision, your blessings. Lord, we want your correction in our lives. We want to change. And we thank you for that. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. This evening, if you say, Alan, I don't know the Lord. I never had a relationship with him, or I want to come back to him. I knew him at one time. I've gotten away. We're going to say a very simple prayer. I'm not going to ask that you stand up, but if that's you and you would like in on this prayer, I need you to have the courage to do one thing. That's acknowledge that by simply lifting your hand. Say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? I need to know the Lord in my life, or I need to come back to him. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your courage. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Here on the front, in the back, on the sides, anyone else, thank you for that. Appreciate your courage. Wonderful. All right, you can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You were debating. But you can pray this prayer out loud. This is a good prayer. This is the beginning, or this is the renewal, and it's great. So say, Dear God,
Dear God,
I know mankind needs a Savior.
I know I can't save myself.
Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead.
Right now,
I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.